You're listening to Middle Class Rockstar. I'm your host, Andy Sito. I'm a singer-songwriter, performer, composer, producer, music teacher, and avid Buffs basketball fan living in Denver, Colorado. My guest today is Denver-based songwriter, performer, and virtuoso guitarist, Taylor Scott. On a personal note, Taylor and I go back almost 10 years. We first met at the Snowy Range Music Festival in Laramie, Wyoming, when we formed a group together, a songwriter group together called Sito, Scott, and Clark, with the two of us and Nick Clark, a local harmonica player and finger-picking guitarist. Since then, we've stayed good buddies, and Taylor's done a whole lot in the music industry. He's one of those artists that's really starting to break out of the local scene into a regional and national level. Right out of high school in Cheyenne, Wyoming, he started touring with Otis Taylor. He's been touring with his own band ever since, and he recently recorded his latest studio album and released it, called All We Have, with producer Steve Berlin of Los Lobos. And last year, when his band was touring, opening for Jimmy Dale Gilmore and Dave Alvin, they recorded a live album called Live at the Belly Up. No, not that Belly Up, the one in California, and released that as a live album just last year. We have a great conversation where we talk briefly about his time with Otis, what it's like to tour, and just his upbringing as a guitar player in general. If you enjoy, you can listen to the entire episode on any streaming platform. Just type in Middle Class Rockstar. Thanks for listening. You graduated high school, and then you immediately went on the road with Otis, right? That was pretty much right away.
Yeah, I did some touring with a Mississippi blues band for a while right out of high school. Like, I think I went down to Mississippi in the fall. And, yeah, I was running around with them for, like, however long, 6 months, something like that. And then Otis called, and then we started going to Europe. And I joined his band. So there was, like, a year between that, because I joined his band when I was 19. And by the time I was 20, we were, like, doing the Europe thing. So, but then ever since then, you've always got, like, even when I was doing those gigs, you've always got your project on the side too, right?
Yeah.
And you never want it to be on the side. You know what I mean?
Like, right,
like, I know everybody's got their project and whatever. Everyone's an artist or whatever, you know, these days. But it's like, I don't know, man. I just couldn't, like, put that fire out, you know? So eventually when the Otis thing ended, it's like, I didn't really want to try to get another gig like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying I would have turned my nose up at it, but there wasn't really anything that was presenting itself, and I wanted to just kind of jump in with both feet to tour with, like, Taylor Scott Band instead of working around that. And it was hard, man.
Well, that's cool. You've been out doing it. I mean, since you were a teenager, you've been out playing and playing with different artists around the scene, as you're saying. At what point, I mean, as a kid when you started playing, how old were you when you started playing, by the way?
Nine.
So at what point did you realize, you know, you have a special aptitude for it that most people don't have, even professional musicians don't have. And I mean, this the same way that if you were to get up every morning when you were 9 years old and say, I'm going to play basketball for 10 hours a day, you never could have made it to the NBA.
And I'm just going to say, you never would have made it to the NBA.
I could have been the next Spud Webb.
There, I think Muggsy Bogues, maybe.
Yeah.
There's people that could have woken up at 9 years old every morning and said, hey, I'm going to practice guitar for 10 hours a day.
Right.
And never get to where you're at with it. Not to discount all the hard work and blood, sweat, and tears you've put in, but there's some additional talent there that you have also.
Thanks, man.
At what age did you realize, I'm good at this, and I don't, and the other kids on the playground, or there's not too many other kids on the playground that can do what I do musically?
I think for me, it was just that I was obsessed with it, and like I was obsessed with it from the very beginning. Okay, if you put an electric guitar in a nine-year-old boy's hands, show him a little power chord, or even don't, you know?
Yeah.
That's a surge of energy, so it's gonna make it's gonna excite you. So that excited me, and made me like jump into trying to get good at the guitar right away or whatever, but I was like a child, so I was still I still wanted to play sports, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I wanted to play flag football in sixth grade, you know what I mean? And then seventh and eighth and maybe ninth grade. But I wanted to play football and basketball and still be cool and be like, you know, I'm gonna do both. I don't know who I am yet, you know. I still don't know who, you know. But
yeah.
But it's like that whole thing shut down after like eighth grade. like the whole, any of that was like, you want me to show up during the summer and during the fall and like get ready for football season. And then during the winter, I'm going to be like lifting weights after school. The other kids are getting bigger. You know, my growth spurt was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, yeah. I don't think I need to, I think there's one thing that I'm super duper obsessed with. And I think this other stuff is like fun and it's nice to learn teamwork.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you said, I'm not going to the NBA,
yeah.
You know? And it became clear to me that like the obsession with music was taking over.
You did your first, I would say, big record, if that's fair to say.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
With Steve Berlin.
Yeah.
How'd you first get connected with Steve? And oh, yeah, Steve, I guess, why did you do a full length in 2019?
Yeah. So that's what it was. So we were releasing EPs, whatever. He got a hold of an EP that we had just recently released, and he dug it, and he said, yeah, let's go to work. It happened really quickly.
How did you get it to him?
We were at a Los Lobos show with my manager at the time, and he knew whoever, you know, was hanging backstage and gave Steve the record. Which is his job,
yeah.
You know, by the way.
Yeah. Manager doing
that's a great
job.
Yeah, that's an old manager. It was, you know, he did one thing, right?
Yeah.
It was by mistake. But anyway, so yeah, whatever. Steve liked the record, man. So he called, and it was like, this is the first producer I've wanted to work with. You know what I mean?
And how cool is that, too? Not to cut you off, but how often do these producers, because Steve's done a ton of stuff for different artists. He does a lot of Los Lobos stuff. He's done Jackie Green. Could go on and on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the fact that he even listened to it, even though you had had whatever, 2 degrees of separation from him to get him that record, how cool is that he even listened to it? Because surely he's been given plenty of records that he didn't listen to.
Yeah, I happen to know that he was shown a video. You're right, it's cool that he listened. Steve is a music nerd, man. It's like any great producer, you know, like he'll go deep and he's not worried about your connections. Like he was my connection. He was my first connection. The manager that I have now, which is a real manager, you know, I finally have a good manager, a real music business connect. But I got that through Steve. Steve was like my connection to these people that now like kind of run my life.
Yeah.
In a great way. You know what I mean?
You've been listening to a short snippet of Middle Class Rockstar. You can listen to the rest of my conversation with Taylor Scott on any streaming platform. Thanks so much for listening.